You're listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
It is the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Well, at least this week, it's going to be the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So let's get at it. The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1, and then verses 4 through 6. Our psalm from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 5, then verses 7 through 10. Our second reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And our gospel from St. Matthew, picking it up again in chapter 22, this time verses 15 through 21. Listen to this first line of the gospel. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap him in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher." Now, listen, that first part might not even throw you. You might go, okay, yeah, the Pharisees are trying to get him again. In fact, St. Matthew even tells us, it wasn't just like the Pharisees showed up and they were like, hey, you know, let's play words with friends with Jesus. Let's do a match of wits. It wasn't like that. They actually sat down and plotted how they were going to try and trap him. I mean, think about this. All the best Pharisee minds sitting around, like, you know, drawing it out, going, okay, now you're going to say this, and I say this. Now, what if we say this, and he'll say this? It's this huge chess match, and it takes all of these guys in a chess match to try and beat Jesus. And the best part as the gospel unfolds is they still don't. And what you have to understand about the Pharisees and the Herodians, because these are two different groups, they weren't friends. They did not like each other, okay? They didn't share the same beliefs. The Pharisees were all about the Jewish law. They were very anti-Rome. The Herodians would support Roman law. They supported King Herod. They wanted to be left alone. So these were not allies. This would have been like the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees teaming up to try and get, you know, the other team in their division thrown out, like the Devil Rays or somebody. Like, they're trying to get rid of somebody else, but they're doing it not because they like each other, but because Jesus is that big a threat to them. Now, why do I mention this? Because sometimes understanding the background of these things, of these stories and of the passages really does help when you're trying to understand the gospel in the modern context. So they go to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we know you're a truthful man, that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth." So they start trying to butter Jesus up. Listen, you don't need to butter up the bread of life, okay? He's standing there going, "Give me a break," because he knows they're full of it. And they say, "Are you not concerned with anyone's opinion or person's status? Tell us, what's your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Now, what you have to understand is, you know, Caesar there talking about is Tiberius Caesar. And the temple tax, okay, the census tax, excuse me, you would have been paid, it would have been a denarius. That's the kind of coin that they would use back then, a denarii. And on one side, it had an image of Tiberius Caesar, and it said the son of divine Augustus on one side. On the other side, it said, you know, high priest. So when they're talking about this coin, the coin in and of itself is not just about the tax, but the coin itself celebrated Tiberius Caesar as the high priest, as the son of the divine, as someone who was superhuman, way more important than other people. So as they're trying to do this, they're trying to trap him in a variety of ways. You see, because if he says, yes, you should pay it to Rome, then the Pharisees are going to say, oh, see, you support Rome. If he says no, then the Herodians are going to go and tell Rome that he's trying to lead an uprising against taxation. So this whole thing is this big political intrigue struggle, and they think they have him in this airtight case. And this is how cool Jesus is. He says, knowing their malice, okay, so he knew their intention, and he knew the maliciousness of their intention. Instead of getting angry at them or going after them, and instead of playing into their battle of wits, he says, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites?" You hypocrites. And the word hypocrite is the same root word they would have used back then for actors, like you two-faced people. So he calls them out on what they're doing right to their faces. But this part's great. He says, "Show me the coin that pays the census tax." And they handed him the Roman coin. And in doing so, he proves the Pharisees are hypocrites because they have the coin. So even though they're saying outwardly, hey, you shouldn't be paying this, they still have the coin. They're still paying it. So right there, he exposes how hypocritical they are. He doesn't just call them out, then he proves it. But then he goes on to say, whose image is this and whose inscription? And remember, that inscription is, you know, high priest or son of the divine Augustus on either side. And they reply, Caesar's. And he says, repay to Caesar what is Caesar's, repay to God what is God's. He's reminding us, look, you can have, you know, you can be obey authority in a worldly way, but you still have to obey authority in a heavenly way, because you weren't made in the image and likeness of Tiberius Caesar, as it tells us in Genesis. You were made in the image and the likeness of God the Father. And this is one of those verses that we use a lot of the time to say, listen, you have to obey the law of the land. You know, you have to obey the speed limit. If you're underage, you shouldn't drink, all those kinds of things. But you still have to obey God's law. And God's natural law is always going to overpower man-made law. So just because abortion is legal doesn't mean it's right. And just because abortion is legal doesn't mean that God says it's right. That God's natural law and God's authority, he's the one that gives it to people. And that's why in the first reading you're going to hear, I have called you by your name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. God's reminding us, authority comes from me. I gave it to you. And in this first reading, when he gives authority to Cyrus, Cyrus was not, you know, a Jewish king after God's own heart. Cyrus was in charge of Persia, but God used him and gave him authority at a very specific time when he needed him. Okay? So at that moment, we have to understand that God is reminding us, I give you the authority. I am the law, and you are just the ones who are supposed to carry out my law. And in the second reading, we're reminded Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, as these names are mentioned, we're told later on that the gospel did not come in word alone, but in power and with the Holy Spirit. We're reminding us, God's reminding us again, God gives power to the people whom he chooses. That Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were not the most powerful men in the world at that time. Not in human standards, not in political standards, but they were powerful because God gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. God chose them. God gave them the power. Now, why does all this stuff matter? Well, if you look at the gospel, you can say, you know, that the taxes are this regular reminder that God's children were being ruled by the world. They were ruled by another person. But that doesn't mean they don't belong to God. It was this reminder that in God's mind, God wanted it to be not just a democracy, you know, he wanted it to be a theocracy. He wanted it to be God and the people, and not all these extra, you know, systems of government and things like that, which would enslave people or which would turn people away from God. And what we're constantly reminded of is that God is the ultimate authority. And no matter how we try to put God in the corner, paint him into a corner, no matter how people try to make truth into a political debate, make truth into a sociological debate, or things like that, in the end of the day, there is truth. In the end of the day, all truth comes from God. And at the end of the day, God, who is the author of life, who is the Lord of life, who is life itself, the way, the truth, and the life, at the end of the day, the only true authority is going to come from God. Now, does that mean that we should subvert and not be obedient to authority on earth? No, but it means that we should constantly be fighting for the truth of God, and that the truth of God and the name of God and the kingdom of God be made known on earth. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but my brothers and my sisters, give to God what belongs to God, and that's you. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.